Want to know our best-kept hosting secrets?
They're all inside our STR Must-Haves Master List, our secret weapon that continues to transform ordinary host into extraordinary host.
The Must-Haves Master List is a checklist that we've been perfecting for over 12 years.
Picture this: your guest checks into your short-term rental, and they're instantly wowed by the thoughtful touches and impeccable amenities. Why? Because you've got the TFE Must-Haves Master List by your side.
This checklist has all the insider secrets that even the best hosts didn't know they were missing.
We challenge you to take the checklist into your property today. See how many items you can mark off of this list. You didn't get them all? No worries. This is your chance to level up. So go to hostchecklist.com and grab your free copy. That's hostchecklist.com to download our coveted checklist today.
You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFE. Hello, listeners. Welcome back for another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. Let's kick off the episode like we do every week, and that is sharing one of you, our fantastic listeners, who's using our hashtag #STRShareSunday. Why Sunday? Well, because we share you on our Instagram channel on Sundays, plus here on the podcast to our entire email list. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
This week, we are sharing 40th and fruit. So you're going to have to listen up. It's 40th dot and dot fruit. Again, 40th dot and dot fruit. 40th and fruit. And they've got a little bit of a different spin, and I appreciate it here. So 40th and Fruit, on their feed, it's more about them. They have photos of their short-term rental, but it's more about them exploring the area around their short-term rental, highlighting places to go, things to do, and a little bit more of their personal journey. And this is what I love about it, and this is what I love about short-term rentals. It is a choose-your-own-adventure. And what Sarah said as we were getting on the mic, you do you. And that's what they're doing. And they're doing a lovely job at it. And a couple of things I want to highlight, though, about their rental. Number one, let's do some homework today after listening to this episode. I love this. They do have their link in bio, and it's airbnb.com/urban-oasis.cle. If you haven't gotten a unique Airbnb link for yourself. Let's do that. Make it so it's easy for you to give out and it's not just a bunch of numbers at the end. The other thing that they have crushed in their listing, they have dialed in every single amenity that they offer. They have 60 amenities. And Sarah and I was like, hey, we need to take this one for exercise equipment. They offer a yoga mat. And I was like, oh, we need to do that. But take a look at that. If you haven't went through your amenities lately, just scroll through, make sure you've got everything ticked off that you do offer. And one thing I love with their scenic views is they do have a garden out back. So they offer garden views. And so I don't see a lot of people that are able to, in more of an urban location, be able to put that scenic view. So they've done that. The other thing I want to highlight that they've done a really good job on is they have a clawfoot tub. This home is from the 1890s. And they make a note of that. They let you know, like, hey, this is, the bathtub is a clawfoot tub. And let me read it. It's an old house, has a clawfoot tub for the shower. So the head is a bit lower with controls at the tub and the footprint is a bit smaller than in new homes. I love that. They are giving you a heads up ahead of time about the shower and what the situation is there. So well done there. And the other things to note, if you have something like that, that you need to make your guests aware of, that is a perfect place to highlight that.
Can I add something real quick too? I just was going through their listing on Airbnb and they do two really cool things. Sarah, the host, has been responding to every review she receives and not just like a thanks, but ooh, like you can tell she's talking to the potential person who is considering her place, but looking at the reviews first, which
love
is a
it.
Big TFE tip that we share as much as we can. And then number two, pictures in her listing, she has all the cabinets open so you can see wine glasses, bowls, plates, like they are fully stocked kitchen and she shows you what that means to her, which my goodness, what a great way to just be like
transparent.
Yeah, transparent. This is what you have. And she is fully stocked. Like, so it's not just like, hey, we offer like, I don't know.
Got to see it to believe it.
Yeah. Yeah. So really well done there. And I don't know if you noticed that, but they're in Cleveland, Ohio.
I know. So cool. We're going to be there in the spring. So let's
go. We are. Should we stay at 40th and Peach?
Fruit. I mean, it could be peach.
There's a peach on there.
Choose your own adventure.
On their Instagram.
Well done. Thanks for using the hashtag. We can't wait to highlight one of you, but go give 40th and Fruit some love. Check your amenities. Check your link and make sure you are replying to those reviews, all of them.
Yes. Today's episode, we interview a very, very cool serial entrepreneur. And when I say serial entrepreneur, I'm not joking. Today we have Sarah Weaver, who is the proud author of a Bigger Pockets published book. That was hard to say. 30-Day Stay. So if you haven't read that book, we have it linked in today's show notes. But Sarah Weaver is so much more than just an expert at midterm rentals. She really goes through her story. She shares a lot of vulnerable moments of making decisions that weren't so great, but in the end, making decisions that really made a lot of sense to her and her life. And she has chosen to be nomadic the past, what, like 4 or 5 years?
One of my biggest takeaways that I really appreciated too is she doesn't have the need for speed. And I think sometimes in real estate, people want to have all the doors and all the things. And I love that she just reiterates that patience, and you don't have to have a need for speed all the time. So let's get into this interview.
Sarah, welcome to the show. We are beyond excited to have you here today.
Me too. I'm a longtime listener, big fan. So excited to be here.
Likewise. You are crushing it out there. And our listeners need to know how creative you've been with your life and with how you invest and how you're building wealth. And, you know, we've already kind of given them a little sneak peek that, you know, you rub elbows with all the cool people at Bigger Pockets. You've written a book. Like, you are a rock star. So take us back before all these cool things started happening. Like, how did Sarah Weaver get to where she's at today? The beginning.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I really am on a mission to help people like live a bigger life. And so I'm glad to do that by example. And so before real estate, I taught English in South Korea. I had an internship in Germany. And so I've always put travel and adventure kind of in the center of my life. And the reason being is that I just always thought if I don't do it now, like something may happen. Like maybe I'll get a job that I can't travel, or I'll get into a relationship. And so I kept kind of living like, well, I better do it now while I can. And then funny, it's been really 11 years of living like that.
That's incredible. And it's funny what happens when you put something as a, as your priority, you make it happen. So
mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't want to interrupt your story either of how you got into real estate and were able to continue this adventurous life. Cause in my brain, like dollar signs go off. I'm like, well, that sounds expensive. And like before, you know, how do you make money, you know, when you're traveling all the time and that's your priority. But I also want you to like weave in here, you know, obviously you're on a short-term rental or a furnished rental podcast. And so our listeners know that there's going to be somehow woven in there something about short-term rentals, but we're often led to believe that you have to live where your short-term rentals are, because how will you help a guest in the middle of a check-in debacle or what have you? So continue your story, but let us know how you were able to, how you decided on, you know, the furnished rental space and how the heck you thought that was even possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So first I want to touch on the dollar signs. So I'm fully transparent about money. You guys can ask me anything about money. So when I first started traveling, I had very little money. I had student debts about to come due. I paid for school myself. And my first job out of college, I was making, I think, $2,000 a month was my take home. And so I learned how to just live really frugally. I love credit card hacking and travel hacking. For anyone out there that's doing that, it's where, or doesn't know what that is, it's like earning points anytime you sign up for credit cards. So I was doing that, but very smartly. I've always been really good with money, maybe because I didn't ever have very much, so you want to keep it. But I've always been really smart with money. So it wasn't like I was opening credit cards and then, you know, putting my life on credit cards. I was paying them off every Friday and just living kind of without what I call that lifestyle creep. And admittedly, that really lent itself to be very helpful when it came to investing. And so that very first property that I purchased was in 2017. I was 27. I was living in Denver, Colorado, a pretty expensive market. And I had a job that I could live anywhere. And so I thought, man, I should probably buy something in a cheaper market, take advantage of that 3 or 3.5% down. And even though I don't really want to, I am going to move back to my hometown and buy my first rental property there. Mm. And thankfully, things fell into place where I got roommates, aka tenants. They covered my entire mortgage. And again, my boss was like, you can work anywhere. I was like South America anywhere? And she said, sure, as long as you get your work done, I don't care. And so that's exactly what I did. I bought a house. I did quite a bit of renovation on that very first house, lots of manual labor by myself and my dad. And then I bought a one-way ticket to South America. And so I was kind of living that life parallel to investing in real estate. It wasn't that I like made a bunch of money, got rich off real estate yet in the story, but I just prioritized travel alongside working. And so to be really clear, my Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, really boring, was, you know, in an Airbnb or at a cafe. Granted, it was in Buenos Aires, Argentina, but I was working. I had a boss. I had to report to the man and go to meetings and do sales calls, just like everybody else. And then my Tuesday nights were probably better than like some people's vacations.
What happened on Tuesday? Yeah, wait, you can't just not tell us.
So things like salsa dancing or language exchange parties. One of my favorite things in Buenos Aires was on Friday nights, there would be a party at a cafe and you'd show up, you'd get a sticker for every language that you speak. So, you know, the Europeans would have like a German flag, a Slovakian flag, and this language and that language in English and Spanish. And then us Americans, we just have the American flag. Right. And so it was great though. It was a really good way to practice my Spanish. And it was just really fun. And for a lot of times it was like, wow, this is like a normal, like school night, you know, work night, weekday. And I'm getting to meet all of these amazing people from around the world and just live a little bit differently.
I love that. What was going on with your rental then while you were in Buenos Aires? Like long-term tenants or it, like, yeah.
It was working like clockwork. So By this part of the story, I house hacked another duplex. So I bought another property and they were all long-term rentals. And what was really cool about that very first house is because I did what I call rent by the room. Mm. People are calling it co-living now, which I find hilarious. Like, no, it is rent by the room. and I was doing rent by the room. And because someone would move out, the other tenants would do the showings for me. Mm. And so I created this like perfect scenario for long distance investing and self-managing because my own tenants were doing the showing because they wanted to vet their new roommate.
Right. Love it. Okay. So, and did you buy this duplex from South America?
So at that point in time, I went under contract while I was in... I was at a conference. I was at a real estate conference. I was surrounded by real estate people, which you guys will hear why I think that's so important. Mm-hmm. But I was at a real estate conference. An agent in Kansas City texted me the listing, was like, you must buy this. And I analyzed it right then and there, wrote an offer sight unseen and went under contract. I was able to go in for the inspection. And that was the last time that I saw the property. And then I was living in Mexico when I closed on it.
And how did you get people in there to pay your mortgage? Like, did you hire a property manager? Did you lean on that agent to help kind of be your trusted boots in the ground? Like, how does one, I know it's possible. We all hear it's possible, but like truly, really, how do you do it so you can still sleep at night?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing you have to do is you have to get that investor-friendly agent. And they really are kind of your core. And then they'll introduce you to a property manager. In this case, this particular agent was offering property management services at the time.
Perfect.
But I'm a frugal, frugal girl. And I was like, you know, 8% a month, that doesn't sound like a good deal to me. Here's what I recommend. Why don't you find me a tenant? I'll write you a check, but then I'll self-manage. And he was like, okay, fine. And so that's exactly what I did. So I paid him for tenant placement. The tenant that he placed is still in the unit today. Wow. I actually texted her today. I really like this tenant. And then later her adult daughter moved into the unit upstairs. And so, yeah, again, no showings.
Oh, and even better that you brokered that deal because you would have been paying 8% month over month mm-hmm. for however long for the same exact tenant. So that was...
And I never hear from her. Like anything, you know, under $200, I'm like, go for it. Right. Send me the bill. Like we're friends here. No. So yeah.
Love
Gloria.
It.
She's great.
Gloria.
That's our avatar here. Thanks for listening. My name's Gloria. Okay. So what's next? You have a fourplex?
So I have a duplex and a single family.
Okay.
And for your audience, just to make it really clear, I still at this time making anywhere between like $45,000 to $55,000 mm-hmm. living, even though it sounds very glamorous, you guys like, oh, I'm living in Argentina. I'm probably renting a room in someone's Airbnb mm-hmm. and I'm probably like eating one meal a day. Like again, living very frugal. Like frugal is the name of the game. By no means do I preach like make your own coffee, don't buy the coffee. I don't think frugality is any way to get rich. But I just want to be really clear that I was living that way. And I own two properties. At this point, I'm cash flowing about $600 from the first single family and about the same, about $600 from the duplex. So $1,200 a month is coming in pure cash flow. And I may be wild and like travel to Brazil by myself, but when it comes to investing, I'm very risk adverse. So I set aside capital expenditures, vacancy, property management, even though I'm self-managing. And so that $600 is after all of those expenses. And then what's really cool is in Argentina, I was living off of about $1,100 a month.
Wow.
So still employed, still have like a big girl job making about $50,000. And I'm more or less sending about 80% of that paycheck into savings.
Gotcha. Incredible.
With the plan, it sounds like you're thinking at this point in time, you're bit by the bug, you're going to purchase more properties?
Absolutely. And I didn't have this like need for speed that I think a lot of investors have. It did help that I was 29 at this point in the story And so I'm not like, you know, oh no, I don't have retirement. I'm also living my best life. I'm having so much fun living in South America. And I don't really want to create more work for myself. Even though these properties are going really well, I started hanging out with more investors by this point via Zoom. And the ones that owned a lot of units, I'm like, these people look stressed. And I don't really want to be stressed. So I was in no hurry. Like, I think that which I think is important, because when I tell you guys what happened in 2021, it'll be like, wow, she went really fast. But come 2020, I really was like, yeah, I'll probably buy another property. Maybe this year, maybe next year. It wasn't necessarily like it has to be done today. And so if there's anyone out there that's feeling, I don't know, I don't even think it's like fear of missing out or FOMO, but I think sometimes I see investors get really down on themselves because they're not buying stuff fast enough. Guys, it's not a race.
I'm one of those people.
There's no race.
I'm not going to lie. I'm like, Annette. And I don't know why we do that to ourselves. Like, there's like this like quota that we're supposed to be meeting in order to be considered an investor. But I appreciate that.
I think, Sarah, for you, Annette and I, we also have all these eyes on us. And so it's like, oh man, like we have to keep buying because people are looking at us. Mm. Like you guys and I were running our own mentorship or coaching programs. We're either hosting or guests on podcasts, speaking at conferences. You guys are running your own conference. So we have all these eyes on us. And I want everyone to also remember that we're also just people. Like, and so I'm going to buy a rental property when it makes sense, when the deal makes sense, but it also has to make sense in my personal life. Mm-hmm. And so I'm running now 3 companies with about 6 employees. And so sometimes I can't like take a duplex down to the studs and rebuild it. I just don't have the bandwidth right now.
Yeah. Wait, should I invite you to my therapy session, Sarah Weaver? Okay, so what happens? It's like what? So now it's 2020. We have the 2 properties still, but it sounds like things are about to get real in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 2020 was the year that I really invested time, money, and energy into masterminds, coaching. I lived on Zoom, like most people. The difference is that while you guys may have been stuck in the US, or maybe your listeners were stuck with like 3 kids that they had to fake homeschool, I was living in a van in New Zealand. And so when like Trump announced that he was shutting the US borders, I bought a 1-way ticket to New Zealand. Still had a job at this point. I had a boss. I had to go to work every day via Zoom or, you know, over the internet. But I could do it from anywhere. So I moved to New Zealand.
I don't think I knew that part of the story.
Wow.
Well, okay. How'd you get it? Well, I don't want to like dwell on it too much, but how do you get like a van and like get set up and like, you don't know anybody, like real quick, like how does one do that?
Oh my gosh. So this is what's so wild. And like, I look back and I can't believe that I did this, but when you're doing it, it feels normal. So there I was in Malaysia having a girls weekend, as you do.
Like one does.
And yeah, and I have an Airbnb in Bali. At this point, I live in Bali. I'd been in Bali for about 3 months. It's March 13th, 2020. And you have to do what's called a visa run. So you have to leave the country for however long. So I was going to Malaysia for the weekend, meeting up with friends. So I'm sitting there with my friend Tasha from the UK, another friend from the US, and we're all just sitting around having coffee and we're all like, oh my gosh, like things are about to get real. And keep in mind that we'd been dealing with COVID for at that point, almost like 8 or 9 weeks because we're on that side of the world. COVID was around. People were wearing masks. I was wearing masks on a plane. And I just thought, guys, I don't think I should go back to Indonesia. And I love Bali. I have a huge heart for Bali. Would love to get my suitcases back at some point. They're still there. And I bought a flight using Google Flights. So, you know, just got on my computer, bought a flight, got onto the government website on New Zealand, signed up for a visa, and boarded the plane. Then when I landed in New Zealand, I opened Facebook Marketplace on my phone and I got a showing scheduled for that night to look at a van.
Okay. You know what?
We got to have a whole other episode.
No, yeah, you are interesting. So, but you know what you've done is like you've practiced that art of just following your instincts or trusting yourself. Sarah, you're in New Zealand. Now what?
Yep. So I'm attending all of these Zoom calls, you know, absorbing all of this information. I know through like my track record and evidence of these two properties that I own, I'm like, man, if I could just get 20 of these, I could quit my job. I was like, let's do this. Not that, again, still not in a huge hurry, but I was like, wow, that's going to take forever if I just buy one every 2 years. So I at least need to buy two or three a year. So I'm starting to learn things like partnership, private money, hard money, the Burr strategy, buying and getting, like recycling your capital. So I'm really treating this like it's my part-time job to learn all of this. Mm-hmm. And I get a job working for a mastermind. So I'm like the community manager for this mastermind. So now I'm getting paid to attend learn. All these calls.
Love it.
Yeah. Earn while you learn is what I learned, is what I did that year. And because I was surrounded by all these investors, it was, I recently met the CEO of Manta Sleep Mask. You guys know the sleep masks are very cool. And he said something really interesting. He said, instead of monkey see, monkey do, for him, he hung out with a bunch of entrepreneurs, funny enough, in Bali. And he's like, okay, if this guy can do it, and he's kind of a doofus, like, surely I can do this. And so he came up with the phrase, monkey see, monkey believe. And that's exactly what happened for me in 2020, is I was like, all of these people are buying real estate out of state. Like, surely I can figure this out. I mean, heck, I had already figured it. I bought two already. And so that year gave me a lot of confidence. And I also closed on zero deals. So here I am like, man, I got all the tools. I'm ready. I'm pre-approved. Let's do this. And my offers just weren't getting accepted. Mm. And so I ended that year really frustrated, which I now know that like the rest of the world also ended 2020 really frustrated for other reasons. Mm-hmm. But because of the van in New Zealand, I didn't really experience COVID like everyone else. And I just knew that I was doing something wrong. So I got with my mentor. And she was like, well, yeah, you're writing offers in too many markets. I was writing offers in your guys' market, in Columbus, in San Antonio, Clarksville, Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Des Moines, Iowa, Kansas City, Omaha. I mean, it was crazy. No wonder I couldn't choose. And so I love to relate it to dating. Like if you go on a date with someone and it's a great date, but then you immediately go home and you're laying in bed just continuously swiping and you're like, oh yeah, like maybe I'll go on a second date with that other person. Oftentimes that other person can like feel that you're no longer invested. Mm. And so that my investor friendly agents were feeling that. They're like, hey, I sent you a deal yesterday. You didn't get back to me fast enough. Mm. Or hello, this deal fits your criteria. Why didn't you write an offer? Well, I didn't write an offer on the house in Columbus because I was like, well, maybe like the agent in Des Moines is going to text me tomorrow and maybe that deal will be better. And so my mentor was like, knock it off. Like you need to date one market at a time. And I was like, okay, cool. You're right. So I chose Omaha, Nebraska. I sent one text message to that agent in Omaha, Nebraska. 4 days later, he sent me a deal. And fast forward today, I am actually sitting in that property right now.
I love it. Yay, that's incredible.
Yeah. So that summer was pretty wild. I bought this fourplex. I bought the fourplex next door. And I also bought two duplexes in Des Moines, Iowa in 92 days.
Every morning I wake up, I grab a cup of coffee, and I log into this one website, our business banking with Relay.
If you invest in real estate, manage short-term rentals for yourself or others, flip houses, or any type of business owner, you need banking that's truly built for your business. No more fees, no more minimum balances, no more remembering hundreds of different logins and passwords, and my goodness, no more bookkeeping problems come tax season. This is why we love using Relay, and you should too. Right now, they're giving away free money.
Relay is an online banking platform that's a perfect fit for your short-term rental business. You get as many accounts as you need to organize and allocate income from things like day-to-day expenses, investments, or taxes. And again, like Sarah said, those are all free. And it's never been easier to send payments to your cleaning team, your inspection team, plumber, electrician,
You can have virtual and physical Visa debit cards. You can now earn up to 3% APY with Relay savings accounts. And also Relay is FDIC insured up to $2.5 million through their banking partner, Thread Bank.
It takes less than 10 minutes to apply online, and it's absolutely free. Plus, when you fund your new Relay account, Relay will add an additional $50 to your account. That is free money, hosts. So go grab the link in the show notes and sign up with Relay today.
Were you doing all this by yourself, Sarah? Or did you bring on those partners? Did you bring on the hard money? Like,
So financially, the finances is that this property that I'm in right now, I house hacked. So I did 3.5% FHA. It's incredible. The numbers, you guys, I cash flow conservatively $3,000 a month.
Nice.
And my down payment was 12 grand.
Nice.
Wow.
I love this property. So I bought the one next door using a partner. So I have an equity partner on that deal. And then the two duplexes in Des Moines, it was my first like long distance, big renovation. I used hard money for the first time and private money for the first time, and then refinanced into a 30-year DSCR loan.
Got it. Okay. Awesome.
You wrote the book on midterm rentals. Like, when does the strategy and how you leverage these properties change for you? Or when did you decide, how are you going to have, furniture in your places that you can, what is that story?
Yeah, absolutely. So when I was writing offers in those 9 different markets, I also was like, okay, I'm going to burr stir. So burr into a short-term rental. I'm going to house
actually
pass.
Never heard of Burr.
I've heard of Burr B&B, but I have yet
never
to
heard
hear.
Of Burr stir.
I like Burr stir.
This is so good.
I don't care what they say about real estate investors. We're very creative
Burr
people.
Burr stir. A Burr to a SDR. We've heard Burr B&B, but I like Burr stir better.
Okay. Sorry.
It rolls off the tongue better.
Easily distracted over here.
So was I in 2020. So it fits. So I was like, I'm going to do all of this. And then I'm also going to house hack. And obviously you have to like furnish a house that you're living in. So I'm also going to Airbnb that on the weekends. Maybe I'll sleep at grandma's or I'll go to Mexico. And again, my mentor was like, oh my God, just pick one strategy. And so unfortunate for her, I did pick one strategy. I picked house hacking and I called my lender and I was like, I need to house hack one more time because I'm going to quit my job. Unfortunately, my mentor was also my boss. So, but I knew that I was going to like want to get out of my W-2 at some point. And so I was like, well, I better get in one more house hack while I'm lendable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was what I put my mind on is I was like, okay, I'm going to obviously furnish the unit that I live in. And so I listed my own personal unit on Airbnb. And I think I had a couple guests that were true short-term rental guests, 2-night, 3-night stays. But my second or third guest wanted to stay for 62 days. And I thought, okay, I guess I'm going to Mexico for 65 days. and that is when I hosted my first MTR guest. And it sounds accidental, but I want to be really clear that I met my first travel nurse or was introduced to the idea of travel nursing in 2016 at a hostel in Colombia. I met this girl. She's like, this is what I do. I like take a 3-month contract. Then I don't take a contract and I travel the world for 3 months. And I looked at my boyfriend at the time and I was like, that's what you're going to do because I work remote and this is going to be awesome. We're going to be like a traveling digital nomad couple. Well, the relationship didn't work out. He is a nurse. It's funny. He's a nurse in Denver now. And he wasn't at the time. A nurse, but that was kind of how I first got introduced to it. And so one of the many reasons that I bought the house in Omaha was because I wanted to target travel nurses. And so while it sounds like, again, I'm really spontaneous, I also was very intentional when I purchased this property. So it was always the plan to rent to travel medical professionals. And then only until later did I realize that I love the MTR space more than the STR space because it takes up less mind space.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is even though everything's automated and anyone listening to your podcast like has all these tools and a tech stack, you're still, even though it was automated, the Schlage lock and the communication with the cleaner, you're still wondering, how did that check-in go today?
Mm-hmm.
And so when you have one STR, no big deal. But now I have 10 and I'm like, man, I can't take off 9 days and go hike Kilimanjaro if I have all these two-night, three-night stays. Whereas when you have a guest that stays on average 87 nights, there's about 79 nights that are silent. They never message you. And it's awesome.
Oh, I like that you just gave like some stats right there. The 87 nights average, 79 they don't. Let's talk about the beginning when they do check in. There are a lot of questions, right? What's that first check-in? Because check-in is different. And getting a guest to, or a midterm renter, the communication is different. So are you really, since you said 79, is it the first 5 days? There's a lot of back and forth, like, where's this at? How does this work? Why did you say 79 days? And how much communication is there? And is it heavier in the beginning and checkout or just in the beginning?
Yeah, what I love about the MTR guests, especially travel medical professionals, is they're professional guests. And so they come in with their plastic drawers and plastic tubs, and they move into your house. Some of them even bring their own bedding because they want like the comforts of home. My bedding is amazing, so they tend to use mine. But they really are professional guests. So they also are troubleshooters. Like, you know, they figured out, they know how to use probably all the 5 coffee makers that would be found in any Airbnb. So they're not messaging you that kind of stuff, but they might be messaging you, for example, my tenants are in charge of taking the trash to the curb. And a typical Airbnb guest, I would like a 2-night stay, even if it's on trash day, I'm not going to make them take the trash out.
Right.
But stuff like that. And then what's really cool is that 47% of my travel medical professionals extend from 3 months to 6 months. And so that usually is the most communication, is like negotiating, extending their stay. And that's my favorite conversation. Like when that text comes across my phone, I'm like, yes. So I actually had 2 guests this week in the last 3 days extend. And I'm just like, oh, that's my favorite.
Let's talk. Yeah, I know you're going to have questions of like, well, how do we open up the calendar, close the calendar? Like, what if they don't extend? Like that, it's, to me, that's a huge gamble of like, well, I hope they stay more, but then what if I need to be getting another guest in? Like, how do you?
Especially if that guest needs a 3-month stay. And if you're not leveraging short-term stays in the gap, unless you are, what have you mastered, Sarah? What do you think works?
Yeah, I think that the first thing is to have really, really great messaging. So one thing I didn't touch on is like the types of messages that they're getting at the beginning. Mm. And so just like you guys know, that message, like the morning after check-in, is like very welcoming, giving them suggestions in the area. But also I negotiated with the local coffee shop. All of my guests get 10% off all the time. And so I'm like doing these little touches that would make someone want to stay. I'm texting 2 weeks in saying, hey, not calling you messy, but maybe your place is getting a little dirty. Do you want my cleaner's number? You can schedule with her directly. I know cleaning's not a part of it. By no means are you obligated to use her. Here's her number. So I'm just doing these little things that would encourage someone to stay longer. Mm-hmm. And then I'm sending an automated message 45 days before checkout saying, hey, like no rush, but if you haven't extended already and you plan on it, can you let me know? That usually triggers about, I don't even think 20%. So let's call it 10% of people say, oh yeah, actually I've been meaning to message you. I want to extend. Then 14 days out, I say, hey, just double checking. I have you leaving in 14 days. Are you sure you don't want to extend even a day or two to like make your checkout a little bit easier? About 50% of people say, oh yeah, I don't know what I was thinking that I was going to check out and work that day. Can I add a day or two? Ideally, if they're able and they're saying, hey, I want to extend 3 months, I have all of these units that are identical, not identical decor. They all are like specially decorated, but they're all one bedroom, one bath, and these 2 fourplexes. Someone once called it a boutique hotel. I was like, I don't know. It's a little bit of a stretch, but it's 2 fourplexes next door to each other. They're all one bedroom, one bath. So worst case scenario, I just message, you know, upcoming booking with Julie and say, hey, Julie, would you mind switching to this unit?
That's powerful. That's really helpful for you that you can just move around. What if they want to stay an extra day? How are you, I'm assuming it's not on OTA. How are you collecting payment for an additional night? And if you've been, you know, your rate has been monthly, how do you get the cash? And then how do you come up with that, you know, daily rate?
Yeah. So if they book through Airbnb, I do it through Airbnb. I say, hey, just toggle, press the button, do it that way.
Okay.
And then if they came from a website called furnishfinder.com, it means that I then had to move them over to a lease and they're in a Vail, and then I just send them a bill.
Okay.
And so it's like add bill or add payment, I think is what it is. And so they're just paying it that way.
And then is that rate just, you know, taking the 30 days, like divided by what their normal rate would be? Or do you give them a little special love since they've, you know, hopefully been there for a while?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if they were really pleasant, I'm like, don't worry about it. $45. Like, it's fine.
Right. Okay.
If maybe they were a little bit of pain, then they're getting
the PIA rate. What's your,
I like that.
What's your return professional guest rate? These professionals coming back to you or telling their friends, what's your strategy for, you know, filling? Do you have referrals, I guess, or most of them coming from Furnish Finder and Airbnb?
To be honest, I've pressed the easy button when it comes with this kind of stuff. And so there's other people in this MTR space that are out there hitting the phones, calling recruiters, talking to nurses. I have hit the easy button. And if that means I'm leaving money on the table for now, so be it. Because I mentioned I'm also running three other companies. And so I'm truly staying occupied by simply listing on Airbnb and Furnish Finder. And when I say occupied, 2022 was a 97% occupancy. And from January to October is my latest data for 2023. I'm at 95% occupancy, not including the two units that have been 100% occupied.
Nice.
Yes, 100. Because again, a lot of my guests extend and then my cleaner hates me. I will do a same day turnover.
Girl,
and
that's so brutal. I'm sending her cracking the whip. Tell me this cleaner's name.
Send her again.
I'm sending her some Starbies.
If she's listening to this, girl, we're going to go to Mexico.
Okay, there we go. That's what
anytime
I'm talking about.
She's a big football fan. And I'm like, ooh, girl, we're going to go on a trip.
There you
and
go.
So
Super Bowl.
But that kind of occupancy is what I'm seeing for MTRs. And so I can like hear the STR like guests rumbling. They're like, I don't know. I just don't think it's as profitable as STR. But what I'm telling you is that in certain months of the year, it's absolutely more profitable to be an MTR. And then in the summer, we have things like the College World Series come here to Omaha. If I can finagle it and have an MTR guest in their stay sometime before the College World Series, then I do switch over to an STR and do what I call the hybrid model where I'm doing STR, MTR. However, last summer, or I should say this summer, 2023, it was just easier to just extend MTR guests. And if people want to hear numbers, so I bought a fourplex for $320,000. I put 3.5% down, so like $11,700. A long-term tenant would rent for $750, maybe $800. That's going rate in Omaha, Nebraska for a decent size one bedroom, one bath, no dishwasher. And I'm able to get the $1,875 for an MTR.
What kind of neighborhoods do you like, Sarah, for MTRs?
The best neighborhood that you can afford.
Okay.
Because your guests need to feel very, very safe.
Right.
And
right.
So like as a single female traveler, like I want to know, can I pull in, especially for these nurses who are doing a 12-hour shift? I'm tired. It's dark. Or maybe I'm leaving the house when it's dark. Is it safe for me to get from my door to my vehicle and vice versa? So I have lots of motion lights. I'm in a good area. It's not a class, or I couldn't pick up a fourplex for $320,000.
Sure.
But it's not a C class.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just not able, similar to STRs, you're not able to do these things. And then, like I mentioned, the coffee shop that gives my guests a discount, that's a 6-minute walk from my apartment on this cute little downtown strip called Benson, Nebraska.
Yeah.
And there's bars and restaurants. They even have an Asian restaurant. I mean, Nebraska's pretty hip, you guys. Pretty hip.
I love this. Okay. I definitely want to have some time to share with our listeners, like what your other businesses are, because they're very cool. Before I pivot, maybe Annette has a question too. What is the process like
finding the right tenant for these MTRs. You know, let's say they hit you up on Airbnb or Furnished Finder. Obviously, I don't know about Nebraska, but in Ohio, we'd be very concerned about, you know, tenant rights and those sorts of things. So you have to put a little bit of effort into vetting the guest or the tenant. What is that like? What's that time frame like? You know, is it like 2 weeks before you can like actually like confirm that someone, this is the tenant, they're going to be there for 3 months? Share with our listeners what that process looks like for you.
Yeah. So right now, as of today, I'm 90% booked with Airbnb guests. So it's not always like that. I should be clear. Usually it's like 60, 40, 70, 30 between Airbnb and Furnished Finder. But for some reason right now, I'm 90% Airbnb and I do not accept guests that have not used the platform before.
Okay.
And I break my own rules sometimes and I always regret it. I did it right now. I have this tenant, Linda, who's driving me crazy. And I'm like, reminder, follow your own rules.
Right.
Like, do not accept people who have never used Airbnb. So Airbnb is predominantly how I get bookings. So if they come from Furnished Finder, and again, this is not legal advice. This is just my experience. What I do is if they are a travel medical professional, I want them to, well, you have to take them off Furnished Finder. So I say, email me a photo ID, photo of your ID, proof of employment. Most of them send me their employment contract. I make sure the dates match, the name matches, the photo. And then I want a phone and email from a previous landlord. And I'm actually calling their previous landlord. Not like I will text them and email them, sure, but I want to get them on the phone. I want to know, like, is this actually a guest I want to have in my place? Mm-hmm. And now my VA is doing all of this. And so I'm not involved at all. Nice. If they are not a travel medical professional, then I am putting them through a screening process. And so they're doing the, you know, criminal background check, eviction check, and just like your basic background check.
Yeah.
And all of these guests, both travel medical professionals and not, they are signing a lease and giving a security deposit.
Awesome. Have you found, Sarah, because of Airbnb and the fees, do you have to adjust? I'm just going to go off a number that you said, that $1,875. Like, are you trying to tell them to not use Airbnb, or like, is that taking their price way up? Are you having to mitigate, you know, the fees there? Or is that just they feel better about being on Airbnb? Do you upcharge it, or is it the same whether it's Furnished Finder or Airbnb?
I don't know the exact number that they're paying because I'd never know what the heck Airbnb is doing.
Right.
But yeah, they're paying something like $2,300 or even $2,400 sometimes.
Okay.
Because my net is the same. That's all I care about.
Okay.
So you are keeping the nets the same on both platforms.
Okay.
Exactly. And that's why I wanted to share, because I find it also surprising I'm 90% Airbnb. Because a lot of people, like for example, I have a unit in Des Moines, Iowa as well, that's furnished. And this guest, Thomas, he messaged me on Airbnb. And then it was funny, about 30 minutes later, he messaged me on Furnished Finder. He's like, oh, hey, I see you here too. Let's do this instead.
Nice.
And so a savvy guest likely wants to be off platform. However, what I've been seeing with a lot of travel nurses is like these professional travel nurses that have been doing this for a while. They love booking with Airbnb. Because if they get to the place and it's like, put, you know, lipstick on a pig, or this isn't safe, they can get out of it.
That's much easier than Furnished Finder.
And so even me, like when I'm traveling abroad, I love the ease of Airbnb, and also knowing that if something bad happens, like that I am going to ideally lean on the support of Airbnb as a guest.
For sure.
And so I think guests sometimes don't mind spending the extra money, and then others don't want to and they find you on Furnished Finder.
But
that's why it's so important that you're listed on both.
No, and I like that you made that point of they've got that like, hey, I'm just going to bull, get my money back. When you are doing the 90-day stays, am I correct? Is Airbnb is releasing you the funds though after on the 30-day marks, right? They're not releasing all of the funds the very first day that the guest checks in.
Correct.
They're doing it in the cadence. Right. Okay. And so you've never had any hiccups with those 30-day payouts coming from Airbnb?
Nothing. I've never had a guest overstay. I've never had anything happen.
Knock on wood right now.
Yeah. I've been doing this, probably nothing in my apartment's real wood.
You got to go for your head, lady. You got to go for your head. Just I'll do it for you.
So I feel, again, really, really good about these types of tenants. And so you're looking and you're seeing, and I'm reading their descriptions, and I allow pets. And so it also opens me up to a lot of tenants, a larger tenant pool. And I've had great success.
If you could give our listeners one MTR hosting hot tip that like you think is like really juicy, no one really knows about, but you're willing to share, what might that be? Whether it's like a listing secret to like attract someone, or I don't know, like what would you share?
I think that investors are so scared to dip their toe in MTR. Like, what if nobody books it? And so you can do more work. So you can call the nurse recruiters yourself. You can find out what construction site is in town and where are they housing their construction workers. You can go directly to the source. And so that's probably my hot tip, is if you're really nervous about those first couple guests and staying occupied, put in the work, do more work, and go straight to the source.
I love it. Yeah, that's great. Okay, Sarah, tell people what you do for a living now, other than being a savvy MTR investor.
Yeah, so I think I have people caught up to the story. I live in New Zealand. I bought a van. Well, I sold the van, you guys, and I moved to Omaha, Nebraska. I think I cried the entire 17-hour flight. I was like, what have I done? But I believe in delayed gratification. So I was like, okay, if I can just live in Omaha for 1 year, I'm going to become the like real estate queen of Omaha. But joke's on me, because I haven't bought anything else in Omaha. Instead, I moved here and I went with my gut and I started really kind of diving into the MTRs. And in doing so, I realized that no one was talking about this space. A lot of people were talking about short-term rentals. There were books on short-term rentals, but there wasn't a good resource for the midterm rental. And so I created it. I co-authored with Sianna McIntyre, and the book is published by Bigger Pockets. And I have always had a heart for teaching and mentoring. My very first job actually was teaching English in South Korea. And I realized I have terrible classroom management, but I love being a mentor. Like if I could, you know, sit down and... So Sarah, it sounds like we should talk about you feeling the need to buy things. Because I know, me too. So I love mentoring. And in because of the book and because of everything that I had systematized, especially because you have to have systems when you're an out-of-state investor. It's a necessity. So when, you know, the tenant calls and says the trash didn't get picked up, well, you need to send someone out there. You need a runner who doesn't cost $60 an hour to go figure out this trash situation. So I had all these systems in place. I wrote down everything because I knew that I would hire a VA. Because remember, I was living in Bali. There's a bunch of digital nomads and entrepreneurs in Bali. They all had virtual assistants. And the thing that they told me is they're like, document everything. And I had been in recruiting for 4 years. And so I had been documenting everything that I did. And more or less, that is how I wrote the book. Then I realized that there was a need for a coaching program. So I have a 12-month coaching program called The Mentorship, where people can learn how to invest out of state. And then, of course, I sprinkle in anything MTR. But I think my mentees would tell you that the mentorship goes so beyond just real estate. I'm talking about health. I'm talking about wealth building. I'm talking about mental, like, toughness, because being a real estate investor is hard. And I think being vulnerable is important, but also just being really tough and brave, I think, are even more important. And so that's something that I teach my students. Then because I furnish my first property from that van in New Zealand, and I posted a photo on the internet, and of course the internet went wild. Oh, just kidding. My grandma commented, but a few people were like, whoa, 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 whoa. You hold on. You bought a property while you were out of the country, but how did you furnish it? And I was like, oh, my team furnished it. My team could furnish for you too. By the way, my team was my mom, my dad, and my grandma.
For that team. First go one. Team.
That is yeah. a team.
Go team. Yeah.
And then I read the book Who Not How,
mm-hmm.
and by Dan Sullivan and Benjamin Hardy. And I realized, okay, I know that this is a company. I know that this is a business because there is a need. I've spotted a challenge. I'm convincing people in California and Texas to buy in Ohio or Iowa, but they're not going to fly there, especially in the winter, to furnish these places. And so I created Aria Design Services, A-R-Y-A, Aria Design. And a girl that, funny enough, I met in Bali is my business partner with that company. And actually, it's funny, girls, I talked to her last night and I was like, Kendra, you are Sarah and I am Annette. And like how you guys vibe is totally how we vibe. And so Kendra and I, we have furnished 75 listings this year alone in 11 states. And we plan on doing that, if not double, next year. And so Aria Design is a company that really, we're investors first and interior designers second. Kendra is a designer. And I'm really helping hosts do the heavy lifting. Literally, we're putting the furniture in. But also, when you're listing, especially your first property, you have 1,000 questions just about like an automated lock, let alone everything else. Mm-hmm. And so what's great is that they can transition from being an Aria client into the mentorship program.
Perfect.
And like I can help them walk through all of that.
And then those
are kind of my three. I have my own rental portfolio. I have my coaching program. I am doing a lot of traveling and speaking and really enjoy that. And then I have Aria Design, but last but definitely not least is my favorite company to talk about, which is Invested Adventures. So what I found is that people love talking about real estate a little bit, but what they really want to talk about is travel. And so there's a need. As you guys see from your conference and your mentorship program, people need community and they need to feel belonging and they need somewhere to go when they have questions. And not everyone thrives in a conference setting. They like that, what I call the hallway conversation, when they're like, hey, earlier I heard you mention that you like run this STR, but it's actually a storage container. Where did you get that storage container? And how much did it cost? And how did you get it there? And what's plumbing look like? Those little side conversations happen in a smaller setting. And so I've created investor retreats in epic locations, usually bucket list experiences like hiking Kilimanjaro or drinking wine in the south of Italy. And they tend to be about 15 investors. It's all a tax write-off. And so it's a really, really good way to experience a business trip.
How fun is your life?
Pretty fun.
Yeah. She's created it though. You do.
It was really intentional. And so I say that like humbly, like, yeah, my life is really cool. And sometimes it's really hard. Mm-hmm. Like this morning I had to bring in 8 trash cans because, you know, someone was sick and I happened to be in town. And I'm like, the whole way I'm going up the driveway, I'm like, I love being an out-of-state investor. I love being an out-of-state investor because I hate doing stuff like that.
I'm the backup for your backup queen. And then I'm sometimes the backup's backup. And I'm like, well, here we are.
Yeah. And I think it's really important, though, that people realize that the trips are just so much bigger than, oh, my God, we went to Italy. But what happens is that a real estate investor, like for the first time, like 57-year-old guy is able to say, guys, I'm really scared. Like, I just don't know if I have enough money to actually retire. Even though I own this real estate, I just feel like it's underperforming. And we're like, okay, show us everything. And he sits in a group of, you know, 12 to 15 people. He tells us how much he has in his 401k, how much this house is worth, how much equity is in that house. And together, the 12 to 13 of us put together a plan. Mm. And then we also check in with him every 3 to 4 months. Mm-hmm. And so it's really powerful to be in a setting where you feel safe, but also a setting where we're like, listen, Jennifer, you're 29. You need a house hack one more time. And she's like, oh, but I love my apartment. We're like, you're going to love the next one. And then Jennifer goes home. She lives in the DC area. And she has 2 showings the day she got back, and she was under contract within 3 days.
Nice.
And so like pushing has become kind of my specialty.
Challenging. And you just challenge them.
Just challenge them. I'm a pusher. And so I think that it's really, really powerful when you put yourself in that setting.
I love it. No, in this episode is super inspirational, not so that listeners, it's like, you know, monkey see, monkey do, but monkey see, monkey believe that you too can create whatever, you know, life that you want to create. And I love, Sarah, how open you've been about, yes, it has a lot of ups, but there are challenges, and that is just life. And when you design a life that you love, those challenges, you're okay to like buck up and tackle them, because the other, you know, 6 days of the week are incredible. So well done. And we just love watching you and
yeah. We love that you're doing it in Omaha, in Iowa. Like, let's go. That's the other part of the story that I absolutely love, is showing off like Midwestern states, what can be done. It doesn't have to be this one, you know, sexy property in this certain market, that it can be done in markets anywhere. So we're super thankful for that.
As a world traveler, I never thought, oh man, I really hope I can own an Airbnb in Omaha, Nebraska. I don't know if I even mentioned, I'm not from here, you guys. Like, I had never been to Des Moines, Iowa before I bought a property there.
Well, you own there.
So, but the numbers work. So live where you want and invest where the numbers make sense.
And we want to give a public thank you to you, Sarah, because it's really funny. Sarah and I obviously get all the alerts for everything that goes on in our business. And Sarah was she supported us in our conference. We had like, she was there. We were like, we saw Sarah Weaver come through. We're like, wait, Sarah Weaver, like the Sarah Weaver is coming to support us. And she came to our conference and supported us, bought a ticket. And we were just in total shock. Then like a few weeks ago, her name comes across our email again. She joined our membership and we were like, is it Sarah Weaver, like the Sarah Weaver? So we just want to thank you for supporting us in the way that you do. It's very, very flattering, but it also just shows like women supporting each other. We all need mentorship, that community. It's been great to see you not only live in our community, but now on the Zoom call. So we just want to thank you for that continued support.
It's my absolute pleasure. I think you guys are doing fantastic work for the community. And I think that what you're doing is needed. So I'm excited to be here.
And we're just getting started with you, girl. So
this is not the end of TFB and Sarah Weaver. So Sarah, where can our listeners find out more about all the things that you do?
Absolutely. They can go to sarahdweaver.com. And truly, I do check my DMs. Message me on Instagram. If there's anything that I said on the call that you liked or didn't like, I'd love to hear from you. So my Instagram is sarahdweaver.
Awesome. We'll make sure that all those links are in the show notes too, to everything that you're doing.
With that, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I'm Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting.
Talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros, is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.